All right, welcome, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So, if you're just joining us, do you have any good stories, at all from your office holiday party or your factory holiday party? Of course, be nice if we still had a lot of big factories around here. But the most important thing that I would stress, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but we've all had to watch those wonderful training videos. I'm sure you've watched them at your job, etc. Everybody in New York State is subjected to them all the time. You, in no uncertain terms, have to understand that it might be called an office holiday party, but it's not a party. In your mind, you need to substitute the word meeting instead of party. But unlike most meetings, this meeting is going to be at night. And unlike most meetings, alcohol is going to be openly served. No sneaking from the flask in the bathroom before the meeting, although you're going to reek of it anyway. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And, you know, one of the questions that I guess I should have asked in the previous hour, but I didn't ask in the previous hour, in 2023, is the era of the office holiday meeting, is it over with? Is the office Christmas party, so I'm going to interchange some words here from time to time just so it didn't sound too awkward and people have an idea of what it is we are speaking. Is the office Christmas party an idea that is just a bad one in 2023? And it seems to me, and maybe I'm overly cautious about such things, I don't know, but it seems to me that in so many ways, it is such a bad idea to have an intermingling of work people, alcohol, outside people, and people without spouses. Like, you want to talk about putting people, especially weak-willed people, in a very vulnerable position? I don't think you could add too many more variables into that mix to make it more dangerous than it already is. Because it's already, my opinion, it's already a recipe for HR disaster. And I don't know that I've ever worked anywhere where there was ever a divorce or a bunch of divorces attributable to the office holiday party. It might simply have been a question of people waiting until the holidays were over before they initiated marital action against their partner. I mean, it might simply just be a question of that without it having had any bearing whatsoever on what happened at the office holiday meeting that they call a party. I would love to know if you have seen people basically, again, we're not naming businesses, we're not naming individuals whatsoever, but have you seen people flush their careers down the toilet, maybe, God forbid, flushing their marriages down the toilet, all because of the office holiday meeting? And I do think, and I realize that more and more it is the policy of companies across America to have spouse-free late-night office meetings that are called parties, but they're really meetings. Because people obviously want to save money wherever and wherever they can. But I'm just saying that if you've got a situation where you've got people who cannot handle their alcohol, maybe people whose marriages are teetering and hanging in the balance anyway, and then you basically give them an excuse to legitimately not be home until 9 or 10 o'clock at night, just saying, I can see how that could be a recipe for herpes. Now, I can see how that could be a recipe for disaster for your business and for the employees at the business. And then you also, by the way, the phone number on WBEN, and this, believe me, this is a lot better with your phone calls because I know you've got stories out there in radio land. In fact, you know, one of the questions, too, that I should ask as well, does your place of work even have an office holiday party anymore, an office late night meeting around the holiday season? Does your business even do that? Or has your business done away with the office holiday meeting that takes place close to Christmas, but we don't care, we don't dare call it a Christmas party? Is the office Christmas party still a viable, doable institution in the United States in 2023, or is it on the way out? I wonder how many of you, boy, this is another interesting question. I wonder how many of you in your 20s or 30s, maybe early 40s, I wonder how many of you have no idea what an office Christmas party is because you've never had one. Because of various reasons, some of which we've talked about on the air today, various reasons which make it very, shall we say, uncomfortable. Yeah, uncomfortable, and will leave managers biting their fingernails, hoping that nothing horrible happens at their particular gathering of people. Very, very curious about this. Do you still have the office holiday party, otherwise known as the late night meeting with alcohol present? Or is that, again, is it a thing of the past? Now, personally, they don't bother me at all, the office holiday late night meeting, because I go in like a monk and I leave like a monk. Well, except I'm not wearing a hoodie or anything like that, whatever. A habit. I'm not wearing, that's a nun, a habit. The monk would be, would that also be a habit? I don't know. It's a bad habit. But anyway, you have to comport yourself as if you were entering a holy order. Okay? Saint Mary the Meek. That's what you have to be when you're showing up at the office party. Otherwise, you are in for a world of hurt. I mean, I suppose if I were to think about it longer and harder, those are, by the way, words to that you, you got to be careful with everything you say at the office holiday party. Because anything in 2023, anything can be misconstrued and probably will be misconstrued. And I wonder, part of me wonders how many of you, when you are at the office late night meeting that poses as a party, I wonder how many of you who are in charge of the affair, hopefully that word is only used in the sense of an event, a happening, wonder how many of you invest extra money for extra surveillance cameras of everything that is going on at the given party. So you can always whip out a surveillance video and say, hey, this didn't happen. Or, hey, we're not responsible for this. It's not exactly like we did X, Y, and Z. We get into such a crazy area when we talk about this. And remembering back to when we were kids, and I realize that, you know, all of us are at different ages and different stages in our lives, right? But it used to be, at least for my dad, who had eventually a white-collar job, but it used to be an annual thing. And nobody really thought too much about it. It was kind of a pain in the butt thing, but it was always a question, always a policy that spouses were invited, so you never had to worry about somebody being there by themselves. And the booze the whole attitude on alcohol has changed so dramatically just in the course of my lifetime. And let me give you the phone numbers on WBEN, because I really want your telephone calls on these topics, because frankly, I happen to think they're excellent, and I happen to think the topic overall is excellent. 803-0930 is the phone number, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. But there was a time, again, where the office holiday party was something that you did each and every year. And I remember, in all fairness and honesty, my parents going to the office holiday party, and when they came home, it seemed as though they'd had a really good time. When I say really good time, I don't mean that they were plastered out of their minds. I mean, it just seemed as though they had had fun interacting with coworkers. I think it's fair to say that. But getting back to it, the whole alcohol situation, this is going to strike some of you as being from out of the medieval era. Almost like, Tom, is that an Iron Maiden you have in your basement? Well, yes, actually it is, and I'm not talking about the CD or the album. But there was a time when society did not view alcohol in the way society views alcohol today. Alcohol was considered, for at least when I was growing up, was considered basically a relatively harmless vice. Now, nobody ever liked the town drunk, the village drunk, any more than they liked the village idiot, okay? Nobody liked it. But the situation with alcohol is such that, so I'm trying to collect my thoughts here, and I'm trying to get a piece of paper out of a big pile. But there was actually a time in this country, within my lifetime and within your lifetime, where the drunk driving laws were not enforced the way they were enforced, are enforced now. There was a time when the legal limit for drunk driving was 0.10. Okay, now I think if you take a sniff of a shot, you are probably going to test positive for DUI. But believe it or not, as crazy and as archaic as this might sound to you in 2023, there was a time when people at parties, whether it was the office holiday party or your friend's holiday party, if they had had too much to drink, you know what the answer was? I'll tell you what the answer was. And some of you are already ahead of me on this one. The answer was not, let me call you a cab, or let me drive you home because I'm totally 100% sober and I want to make sure you get home okay and nobody gets hurt. No, no, no. The answer, and I could name a party, but I'm not going to name a party. The answer back in the day, and if this isn't the stupidest thing in 2023, when I tell it to you, you're going to think I'm speaking Martian. The answer used to be, okay, you obviously have had too much to drink. I'll tell you what, I will follow you home. Let me just get this straight. You know that somebody is drunk out of their mind, and your answer is, I will follow you home. What exactly was that going to do to keep somebody from running a stop sign? What was that going to do to keep somebody from running a red light or hurting somebody else? Let's go to Kathy in South Buffalo on WBEN, where they know how to pack down at least a couple of drinks. You're on WBEN, Kathy. Welcome.
Tom, you've got a wonderful program. I want to congratulate you on getting your marriage certificate. I heard that show.
And thank you.
Yes, indeed. Incredible news that you are enlightened and you married your lovely lady. I want to agree with you that office parties should not have any alcohol. I totally agree, 100%. And here is something that I wanted to say about maybe a topic for another program. Could you just consider having a program where people who have bus aides and bus drivers bringing their pre-K to eighth grade children to school on the yellow school buses? I think it would be an incredible program where they don't call in and complain, but they appreciate this little right that they have to have their children come and not be bullied and be incredibly taken to school and brought home.
My love, I'm a little bit confused, and I'm going to ask Tanner back at the station to see if we can't get a better connection because things are a little bit fuzzy. So if we could put this call on hold, please, and work on that off the air, we'll see what we can do. Because I'm not quite sure I quite understand the topic at which she is driving. But if no pun intended, by the way, with driving. But if you've got office holiday party stories without naming businesses, without naming individuals who screwed up their careers, 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And this is going to sound awfully weird coming from me, but do you know what else? There's a certain function that you will never see me attend, and it will shock you. But I'll tell it to you after the news. There's a certain kind of function that I do not attend, and I haven't been to one since it was in my early 20s, and I vowed to myself I'm not going to attend ever again. I wonder if you can guess what it is. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Ooh, yeah. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Well, that cold didn't last all that long. I was off on, Friday of last week, but no big deal. Just a little bit of residual, but that's about it. Some of you have been laid up for 3 weeks at a time with this thing, but it's not really a big deal in the least. Now, talking about the office holiday party. You've got stories? I want to hear them. Just don't name the company and don't name the individuals that got caught making love in the broom closet. I personally can't think of a more romantic place, except maybe the stall of the men's room. Oh, there's a hot time right there. Let's get to the calls on WBEN. Oh, and one place you will never find me. You will never see me at a stag party. And I don't judge people who go, but it's just not my bag, baby. And I am familiar with a couple of people who got into big trouble at a stag party. And no thank you. I can spend the rest of my life without going to a stag party at all and be very content and very happy. Zero, zilch, nada interest, believe it or not, coming from me. Just not my bag, baby. Let's go to Anne-Marie in Tonawanda. Anne-Marie, I'm sure you have no desire to go to a stagette party whatsoever.
Actually, I don't, Tom. I have no desire.
Yeah. I don't get it. That's something that I don't get, and I'm not exactly a prude. I just don't get it.
No, I don't either. And I've never been to a male strip club, and I know that, you know, there's a lot of people that go and find it fun. I don't know. It just never appealed to me. So I don't really get it.
I guess there are two of us in the world. But you got to admire the strip clubs, because where else? How else would people put themselves through medical school? From Siberia to medical school and work their way through medical school on the pole. There are more medical students on the pole in strip clubs than any other single occupation. I'm being facetious, obviously. So you've got an office. First of all, are we on the same page that office Christmas party is not the headset you need? What you need as far as the headspace is office meeting at night.
I think that we need, like, office meditation at night. That's what I think they should do. But I was thinking when you were talking about, like, how laws and things have changed, and I know that you and I are about the same age. I'm 59, and I don't know if you experienced this, but I had the drinking age change. So I became legal at 18, then it changed to 19, so I was legal for about 6 months. Then it was illegal to drink. And then when I was 19, I was legal for a bit, and then they changed it to 21, and then I was illegal again. and yep. then legal again at 21. Did you fall into that category at all?
No, I always dodged the bullet. But here's the thing. At that point in my life, I was so busy working and with school that I did not go out. And that's why, as an adult, I probably go out too much because I'm making up for what I didn't get to enjoy when I was younger, and I should have been partying.
Yes, you probably should have been, but that's okay. You can do it now. You only have one life, so just enjoy it. That's
well, within reason. I mean, you also don't want to pee all your money away. It gets expensive after a while. But as far as the office holiday, have you had situations arise in your life that are worthy of a tale?
I am. This one though is not so much about the party itself. It's about afterwards. So when I was in my 20s, and this is just how the drinking laws have changed drastically for the better, of course. But when I was in my 20s, I was leaving a work party and I drove another girlfriend and we pulled out of the establishment and I went through a red light not knowing because I didn't see it because I was very drunk. Okay. And, you know, a police officer pulled me over and this was in the North Tonawanda. This was in North Tonawanda. And the police officer, you know, was like, oh, you know, where are you coming from, et cetera, asked me if I could say the alphabet. And, like, I'm laughing. My girlfriend and I are laughing and saying, oh, you know, we're becoming teachers, so on and so forth. And I didn't even get through the whole alphabet. Now, when I say I was drunk, I was really drunk. And he let me go. He told me, he's like, listen, girls, just, you know, go home, you know, go right home and be careful. And that would never happen now. Not in a million years. Thank goodness. Right.
Well, people don't believe, you know what? People don't believe it when you tell stories like that. But what you are saying is absolutely correct. And to me, the most ridiculous thing I ever saw, and this was at a family function, and I won't tell you the names of the people involved. They're dead anyway. But, wow, you are really hammered. You're drunk out of your mind. Let me follow you home to make sure you get there safely. And I never, even as a kid, I could never understand the logic. Like, what are you going to do from the next car? Radio control it? I don't think so.
It's so true. And I remember, like, people, like, saying, oh, you know, I drove with my windows open on the way home. And just, you know, in college, and it was just so different. And, I mean, I do think it's better now. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the car with anybody that's been drinking, you know. But it's just amazing to think that back then you could drink, you know, shots, multiple shots, and get in your car. Now, I think, like you had said, like, if you sniff a shot, you know, you're probably, you know, over the legal limit. It's amazing how different it is.
Well, and too, one of the things that, I mean, I know that you have to have a standard, you have to have a metric, but frankly, some people handle their alcohol better than other people handle their alcohol. And I think we all know the people who, when they drink, they become very loud, they become socially inept, and frankly, they become a big pain in the ass.
Yeah, there are definitely people like that, for sure.
And you don't want any of those behaviors to be shown at a holiday party that is anything work-related. You really don't.
Oh, no. I had a girlfriend the one time at our holiday party. I swear she drank quite a bit, and I'll never forget. I was mortified for her. She literally fell over, like, was standing there. And, like, fell over, and then we propped her up on a bar stool. And, of course, she was the talk of the building the next day, you know.
Oh, that's
not good. Or the next Monday. No. So I just think, it's probably best not to drink with your colleagues, you know, unless you're very, very close friends or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not with a large group.
You got to be really, really careful. The good news is, typically, at least in the modern era, the office holiday meeting is doesn't exactly have the finest wine or spirits there, and you know, let's just say it's the cheap stuff, and that gives me a headache. So I think it'll be club soda. Yeah, it'll be club soda for your humble host.
Right. We don't even have a holiday party anymore. We just don't have one. So it's just amazing how things have changed. Right, it really is.
Did the holiday party at your place go away with the pandemic, or did it predate the pandemic?
Ours predated the pandemic. It just seemed to, I think, as the drinking laws became, you know, more strict, I think it just kind of disappeared. You know, I think fewer people were drinking. So I just think that it became obsolete, really, at least in our building, you know.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah,
very interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. I appreciate the phone call very much. And I mean, to show you how things have changed, believe it or not, in the old days of certain entertainment businesses, let's just say it wasn't just alcohol that people were doing. In fact, I would often notice people, maybe they had bladder infections or something, but they seemed to go into the restroom an awful lot. And they seem to be rubbing their noses an awful lot when they came out. I have no idea what that would have been about, but I caught on eventually as to what was going. I was young then. I didn't know any better. Here is Chris in Alden on WBEN. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Mr. Bowerly. Your example of how intoxicated persons lack logic at these office parties is spot on. And I have a quick story that's a true story that will support that.
Excellent. I always like stories that support my thesis, but just don't name any people or any businesses and we'll be cool.
I can't remember the names, but I was a police officer years ago, and we were running radar on Route 16 in the town of Machias. And the fact that it was radar shows you that it dates me. So the radar shows a number of the speed when a car comes into its pass, and it also has a pitch. And the higher the pitch, the faster the speed, and you match the two for your later potential court testimony.
Right.
We were going northbound on Route 16, and we got this high-pitched squeal like I've never heard before, and a 92 shows up. And then a car passes us at what we would have estimated at 90 miles an hour. Before we can do the U-turn on that car, the high-pitched squeal comes again, but higher, and a 96 shows up. And so we turn and get them both stopped, amazingly. And when we interviewed the second driver, he said this, and this is a true story. I still lock it in as one of my memoirs. Officer, the driver of that car in front of me is my brother. And he's drunk. And he said, I'm following him in case he gets in an accident. And then I could call 911.
Oh my.
And they were both cocked on their butts with other people in the car.
That's
the logic.
Again, you are right. And here's the thing. I don't know when you were on the job, but that was a common practice. Oh, you're drunk. I'll follow you home. And the thing about radar, too, is when you train on radar, part of the training, you also get certified as basically a visual expert speed estimator. So even if the attorney says, well, was the radar properly calibrated, you can say, of course it was, and I also have the training that I can judge the speed of an oncoming vehicle. I'm trained and certified in that, and then that'll shut the attorney right up. Let's get back to Chris in Alden, a retired police officer, and true story, one guy was following his brother on Route 16 in the 90-mile-per-hour range, and the logic he explained to Officer Chris was, my brother is the one ahead of me, and he's drunk, and I have to be here in case he gets into an accident to call 911, which, what good is that going to do the kid in the car that gets killed? Absolutely none.
No, and there were other persons in the car, so it was a tragedy just waiting to happen.
But, and were they by any chance coming from an office holiday party?
It was holiday time, and they sure were. They were together. They worked together at the same place. That's the logic they used when they both left highly intoxicated.
And what department were they with? Now, I'm guessing, Chris, that they did not exactly get any courtesy. I'm pretty sure you threw the book at them.
Well, there was no choice. I mean, your earlier caller was right. PWI is not as popular as it used to be. And sometimes you'd take people home. But with this situation, they were all drunk. And you couldn't do anything. You had to arrest them both. And the numbers were unbelievable. I can't believe they made it to Machias.
You know, it was, Chris, though, it was a different era. And you're right. Cops would sometimes bring drunken people home, say, come back tomorrow, get your car then. Now, there's not a lot of room for that kind of leeway, especially with the cams that the officers are wearing. Because hey, why did this person get a break and the other person didn't get a break? Everybody's involved in CYA, but in the event of the drunk drivers, you know, anything can happen in Machias on Route 16. Deer, you can have a guy behind the wheel of a semi, or a lady for that matter, falling asleep at the wheel. There are so many things that can happen. Doing 90 plus miles an hour does not exactly help your ability to avoid an accident. That's just terrible. Chris, thanks very much, man. I appreciate the phone call. What era are we talking about? Early 70s?
No, I started in 84, so it was late 80s.
Oh, all right. Well, you're not, come on, not that long ago. Not that long ago at all. Thank you kindly. I appreciate the call, and thank you for your service as a police officer back in the days when occasionally police officers got respect and were not viewed as the bad guys.
So true. So true. Thanks for your radio station.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's such a tough job. And there was a time, and we talked about this previously, not today, but other shows, in the 1980s, there were thousands of people signing up to take the trooper exam, the local police exams. Now they are begging people to take those exams. And it's not too hard to figure out why, because you are one tweet or one video away from destroying your life and the lives of everybody around you and the lives of everybody with whom you work. Now, look, nobody wants to see a bad apple on the job, but we have seen cases where certain things were said about certain officers that in reality proved to be lies, and the officers were totally cleared of any wrongdoing civilly or criminally, but their lives were still destroyed and ruined. And of course, nobody supports police brutality. I don't. Nobody should. But I also do believe that you should be given your day in court, whether you're Von Miller, Matt Ariza, or a cop in Missouri somewhere. It is coming up on 3:57 already at News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, if you're on hold, please stay there, because that way you don't have to listen to me blab so much. Talking about office Christmas parties, and I think that whole term is a misnomer. It's not a party. It's a meeting. And because it is work-related, that company handbook still applies. You do not get to play grab butt with the cute guy in the engineering department. Okay, you don't get to do that. That was not from personal experience. I would like to be very clear about that. It's a 3:58 at News Radio 930 WBEN.